I just been noticing the increasing interest in what's called facadism going on in the local council area that you represent.
You're talking about facadism, yeah?
Yeah, facadism.
Yeah, well, what that means for anyone who is listening who doesn't know what that means, it's where a heritage building is gutted, but they keep the sort of the exterior wall. So from the outside, you can still see what the building looked like, but the whole guts of the building is demolished and replaced by a new building, usually quite a high building. The best example is in the city of Melbourne, the old Celtic Club, the old Irish Club, which has been demolished. They've kept the front of the building and they've gone up 70 odd stories and it looks unbelievable. They're trying to do the same in the city of Yarra in on Victoria Street at the Baden Powell Hotel, which is sort of in South Collingwood, South Fitzroy. They want to keep the outside of the building, but then demolish the inside of the club, of the bar, and then go right up a certain height. It's quite an ugly looking thing. Facadism, I suppose, is better than total demolition in the same way as if you're made a slave by a slave owner. That's probably slightly better than if he killed you, because you still exist, at least in body form, even though your soul and your heart is crushed. And that's what happens here. So you've still got the outside of the building. So you can sort of see what used to be there. But the gist of it, the guts of the building is actually gone forever. And that's the latest tactic that developers use to get around heritage laws. And often councils are complicit in supporting those applications. And you know, there's two examples that I've said that exist right now that your listeners can go and look at as we speak.
Has there been any reactions from the members of the public in the sense that Fitzroy and Collingwood and these suburbs are actually low rise? So has there been some change to the application process?
Yeah, look, it's complicated. I mean, obviously we're in the middle of a construction boom. We haven't had a recession in the construction industry since the early 1990s. It's unparalleled. And speaking as a construction worker, that's a good thing. It's great that 100,000, I mean, before COVID at least, 100,000 extra people want to live in Melbourne. Who wouldn't want to live in Melbourne? And who wouldn't want to live in places like Fitzroy, Collingwood, Richmond? They're amazing places to live in. I live in Fitzroy and it's the best place I've ever lived in. So I'm not going to deny anyone else chance to live. And this idea, by the way, that anyone who pushes back against the developer is a NIMBY is total bullshit. The population of Yarra has doubled in the last 15 years. I'll say that again. It's doubled in the last 15 years. Nowhere else in Australia, I don't know of at least, has had such an increase in the population. The whole area is one big construction site. There are cranes everywhere, in particular in Cremorne and in particular in the south side of Collingwood, but generally right throughout Yarra and the CBD, there's cranes everywhere. So nobody who lives in that area is a NIMBY. They all know that development is happening, that more and more people are moving into the area, that more and more buildings will be built, and more buildings will be built that will be higher than the norm. So what are the community asking for? They're not asking for no development. There's no such thing as NIMBYism. That's a myth that's propagated by the developers, and some dumb fuck lefties accept it and think that they're being really radical by attacking people who push back against developers by calling them NIMBY. But in actual fact, unconsciously, and it's how stupid some of the lefties are, they're actually just playing the developer's game, and they're being used by developers to undermine community opposition. But they're too dumb to actually see it. But anyway, getting back to your question, what the community are asking for is not no development. It's not even against high rise. But what they're asking for, not in any order of priority, is as follows. They want inclusionary zoning so that every big development has to have a percentage of low cost housing. That doesn't exist in Victoria. We've won it sometimes when we've pushed back really hard and we've wedged the state government to support a council seeking that. In some countries, it's law that if you have X number of units, you have to have a certain percentage, 5, 10, 20% low cost housing. That could be implemented overnight by the state government and it would lead to hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of new units being built for poor people. Secondly, they want more public housing. That I don't even have to, every 3CR listener with their socks knows why that's important. But in terms of the buildings themselves, what we're asking for is environmental standards that have carbon neutral energy. Over 80% of carbon emissions in the inner city, we've just been told at council, comes from not from bins or rubbish or from cars even. It actually comes from stationary energy, which is the powering of our offices and buildings with fossil fuel derived energy. If we mandate carbon neutral energy sources in the big buildings, we'll slash carbon emissions in the inner city. They're the things that the council that the community is looking for. It's actually going to mean more jobs, more buildings, but better buildings environmentally, better buildings because it'll include poor people, not just rich folks. And also, we want, and we're not ashamed of this, we want to protect heritage. People come to shop on Brunswick Street and Smith Street, even though they're probably a little bit more expensive, because it's got the coolest bars, nightclubs, cafes in Melbourne. And if we allow the developers just to knock down all those clubs and restaurants and cafes and replace them with unit development, we're going to destroy the area. So on those streets, we want to protect those streets and have development set back 10 metres from the front of the street. So those buildings that people come to enjoy, those clubs and businesses and so on, are protected. In the same way as even the most right-wing person in Paris would not say, let's knock down the Eiffel Tower and put a block of units there, because they know it's things like the Eiffel Tower that attract people to Paris. So what the community are asking for is very reasonable. It's not going to cost any jobs. In fact, it's going to create jobs. And the punters are not NIMBY. They're actually trying to get communities built rather than middle-class ghettos like we saw when the Docklands and South Bank was built a few years ago. So that's a sort of a long way of answering your question, but it just pisses me off when you go on Twitter and you just see these dumb fucks who call themselves left-wingers, who accuse anyone in the community who stands up to a developer of being a NIMBY. It's just lazy, lazy, lazy politics, and it pisses me off to the max.
But also the picture that you put up that showed the tall tower behind the Baden Power Hotel facade is ludicrously out of proportion to the entire landscape.
Look, it's dog shit ugly. There's no question about it. But you know what? That's not my job. You know, what I might consider ugly, other people might consider beautiful. Every time I look at my face in the morning, I think I'm the hottest guy in Fitzroy. I think 99% of the population would disagree with that assessment. So, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So I'm not trying to, you know, use this opportunity talking to you to talk about, you know, what looks good and what looks good bad, because I'm not an architect, you know, and I'm not going to be buying a unit at the Baden Powell. So some people might think it's beautiful, other people don't think it's beautiful. That's not the key point. The key point is that we're building units right now. Let's make sure a percentage of them are for poor people. If you can't see why that's a good idea, well, then you're actually not on the left, you're actually on the right. The second thing is, if we're building these buildings, let's build them environmentally to the highest level by making them, the power that exists in those buildings is derived from not from fossil fuels, but from carbon neutral energy. That's the two things that we're pushing for. And let's protect those parts of the inner city that attract people to come and shop, to hang out, to party, and to live next to. There's plenty and plenty and plenty of places, even in a small municipality like Yarra, to build high rise. Don't put it on the likes of Brunswick Street or Smith Street. Just set back a little bit. There's plenty of places you can go high. As we speak, there's buildings all over, as I say, in particular Cremorne and South Collingwood, that are going really high. So we're not saying no to that. I'd be an absolute hypocrite if I said that, because I'm a construction worker. I work in high-rise buildings. I just finished working on the tallest building in the Southern Hemisphere in South Bank. So, but it's a question of where you put it. You don't have a wedding celebration at somebody's funeral or vice versa. So it's time and place. If you want to go high, there's plenty of places in Yarra to go high, but don't destroy a heritage-listed pub. Don't put it in the middle of an iconic street like Brunswick Street and scare people away and destroy currently existing businesses. So it's a balanced approach. But the most important thing is that we start building units for poor people. That means the state government rising to the occasion and building public housing, and local councils forcing developers to incorporate social housing in the bigger developments. And second of all, that we start building buildings that aren't going to mess up the climate, but actually protect the climate. And they're the two things that people like me and many in the community are fighting for.
So what stage is it at the council at the moment?
Well, it's just at the application stage. You know, anyone can walk into the council and put in an application. Any developer can walk into the council and put in an application. It's been advertised and people can object. If five or fewer people object, the planning officers will determine on the matter. They could well support it. If six or more people object, then the decision is made by elected councillors, which are far easier for the community to pressure, to twist their cajoleries and get them to do the right thing by the community. So I would say to anyone out there who's looking at that particular application and doesn't like it, well, then they should put in an objection, because if they get six, if the council receives six or more, a different process kicks in, which is much better for the community to affect the type of changes that I've been talking about. So that's the main thing at the moment, is to get an objection. It doesn't matter how flimsy the application is. It's not about the quality of the application at this stage. It literally can just say, this is too high for the area, or hasn't got enough low-cost housing, or whatever the hell people are. Well, in this instance, it's obviously office block, which is particularly ridiculous because post-COVID, post-lockdown, you know, obviously there's going to be a glut of office space. So to destroy a heritage-listed pub like this for unwanted office space just seems to be absolutely crazy. Shows the craziness of capitalism sometimes. But that's what they need to do now, is to get their objection in as soon as possible. The date for that will be on the yellow sign outside the front of the building, or they can just email me and I'll get them to give them the details. And my email address is on the City of Yarra website.
Thanks for talking to me.
No worries, mate. Thank you. Cheers. Thanks for the opportunity.